Hey, up next on Downtown, want to check in with the Boston scene. To do that, we got on board the Tiller and Rye telephone line and connect with one of our favorites. It's Rich Levine of Comcast Sportsnet New England. Rich, how are you this afternoon?
Pretty good, Rich. How's it going?
Good, good. Let's talk about Danny Ainge's master plan. It's still
all right.
It's still a work in progress. I am not deterred by things. How are you feeling about the situation a week or so after the draft?
I think that we're most likely in the same boat. You know, I think, listen, it's not happening as fast as you want or I want or anyone associated with the Celtics wants. But, you know, the worst possible thing that they could do would be to make a move just for the sake of making the move if they don't really feel that it's in the best interest of, you know, raising another banner at some point. And, you know, while that could, you know, potentially, you know, quiet some of the screams from the fans, I think, you know, those would be the same fans that would be screaming even louder. And so I should say fans and talking heads of the media. The same ones that would be screaming even louder if those signings didn't work out.
Absolutely.
You know, so, you know, it sucks. It would be great to feel like next year the Celtics had a chance to maybe contend, but I think there are still a vast majority of teams in the NBA that would switch places with the Celtics right now.
But I do like the moves they make yesterday, bringing back Crowder and Jarebko. I think Amir Johnson is a nice piece of the puzzle, a guy who can go out there and play, get things done. They've got a little surplus there at that position, but that also gives them some flexibility.
Yeah, and the best part about, you know, Johnson and Jarebko's deals are the fact that it's guaranteed for 1 year.
Mm.
So, I mean, you're talking about flexibility. That hasn't changed a bit. And Amir Johnson, okay, he's never been an all-star, but he is a big man. He's a proven commodity in this league. And, you know, as quickly as the February deadline, if something happens and, you know, the Celtics decide that he's, you know, who knows what kind of opportunity he's going to present himself. But the fact of the matter is that he will be an asset at that point. You know, he could help in the future on the court. Or he's a guy, you know, $12 million, and whether it's a half a year on his contract or a year and a half on his contract, you know, you can sweeten the deal with a guy like Amir Johnson.
Do you think they're done in the free agent market for now?
Free agent market, yeah. I mean, I guess they just say, okay, if you look at what they need, they still need technically a center, I guess, and I don't know if you're going to get anyone of kind of really significant with what's left. I guess Robin Lopez might be the only real center left on the board, and they could use a wing scorer. And you know, I'm on board with bringing back Gerald Green, as you know, not saying that he is going to be a major piece in winning a title, but if you need some wing scoring and he's a cheap option, I would love to have Gerald back. But I think most likely, if you see a move, it's probably going to be through trades. I mean, they still have, like you said, that surplus. I don't see at this point how they're going to start next season with Rozier, Smart, Thomas, and Avery Bradley on the roster. That just doesn't seem, unless they think that Rozier is not ready to play as a rookie, in which case that wouldn't really make sense with them taking him when they did. So I would not be shocked to see one of those guys get dealt, for whether it's a big guy or a scoring wing.
We're talking with Rich Levine here on Downtown, a little Celtics talk this afternoon. As far as the big-name free agents go, is there anything keeping them away from Boston, Rich, other than the fact that they realize this is a team that's not ready to contend right away?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. And I know that's, like, you know, the biggest complaint about people, you know, the free agents never going to come to Boston. They never have and never will. And actually, I'm writing about that for tomorrow. I just think, listen, you can't deny the fact that a big-time free agent has never come to Boston. But to say that's never going to happen, I think is ridiculous. I mean, we just saw today, Greg Monroe, right? He got offered the max from the Lakers. He got offered the max from the Knicks for any amount of years, reportedly. And he chose the Bucks. I think the days of needing a big market to be a marketable player at this stage in the game, it just doesn't ring true anymore. I mean, with technology and Twitter, I mean, you can have a presence. No matter, you can be playing in Antarctica and you can have a presence. So I think what it comes down to is a player that any big-time free agent that the Celtics would want to have is the guy who's going to go to the best place, you know, regardless of weather, regardless of whether or not there's state income tax. Like, if that plays into the decision, he's probably not a guy that you want to give a max contract to. So I really just think it's a matter of the Celtics being able to sit down and say, hey, this is what we have. You know, this is what you'll be able to do on the court if you sign with us. And if they can present a situation, you know, you don't have to be the Spurs, even like Milwaukee, you know, a good coach, a good core, and like some real hope for the immediate future. And for the right guy, I really think that's all you'll need.
Yeah, and it's clearly not just about the weather or the size of the city, because there have been more than one guy who spurned the Lakers so far and has said, look, the pitch that you used from about a decade ago, it probably is not going to work these days.
Yeah, and the Knicks. I mean, there are still people out there screaming, oh, unless you're L.A. or New York, you have no chance at the free agent market. And it's, first of all, most free agents end up signing with their original team. And that's been proven over and over. And then you have, you know, for, you know, Monroe, like I said, just signed Milwaukee. And then the other, you know, major piece in free agency that's probably going to change teams is Aldrich. Everyone thinks he's going to go to the Spurs. And, okay, the Spurs are the Spurs, but they also play in San Antonio. So it's not like you're going to Honolulu. I mean, that's a pretty unexciting area if you take away the fact that they are, you know, the model NBA franchise. So, yeah, I completely agree with you. And if it comes down to it, like I said, the right player, maybe there are some guys that are like, I want to go somewhere where I can work on my tan all year, or I can drive a convertible. If that guy is making that decision, I'm fine. Like, go somewhere else. You don't belong in Boston. But the right player who wants to win, and that's the only thing that matters, like, he'll go. If you have Brad Stevens, you have one of the best coaches in the league who's only getting better. And if you present the right situation, there's no question that a guy would.
What happens to Rondo now? And not only is he blazing a trail to oblivion the way he's going, but he's flamed out with two coaches in the league that I think, if you ask most people, would say they're two of the easier coaches to get along with in both Doc and Rick Carlisle. Will he fit in? How could he fit in a place like Sacramento?
Yeah, you know, Doc, for sure. I mean, Doc's one of those guys that if he likes you, he likes you. If he doesn't, he can make your life hell. And, you know, that's what he did to Big Baby, which is why, you know, that's why he left. You know, he wanted so badly to leave Boston in the first place. And then I think he realized, okay, maybe that's good for me. And the only way I'm really going to thrive in this league is if I have someone like Doc that's staying on me. But, you know, Carlisle is a bit of a he's a bit of a psycho. he's a bit of a control freak. And I think he's a guy who had a lot of issues with Jason Kidd back when they were together in Dallas. And I think it's, you know, when you have a headstrong point guard who likes to do what he does and has the ball as often as he does. And then I think Carlisle is a guy who likes the game the way he likes it. And there's going to be an issue with that. But, you know, George Karl, I mean, he's sort of like a freewheeling guy. He loves to run up and down the floor. And, you know, him and Gary Payton, we got along well. And in Denver, they were scoring a bunch of points. And he actually seemed to get along pretty well with J.R. Smith when he was in Denver at that time. So, you know, I could maybe see him and Rondo working out. And at this point, listen, I don't see another destination for Rondo except for maybe, you know, Beijing. I don't know another team that's going to really pay him even close to what he thinks he wants. And it'll be a one-year deal. You know, he's going to have one more year to prove himself. And if it comes down to playing with Rudy Gay and DeMarcus Cousins in Sacramento, you know, I'm somewhat optimistic, and I'm always on the side of optimism with Rondo for some reason, you know, and I've been burned on it in the last couple of years, but I'd like to think this time, finally, if you give him a one-year deal, now he's got a full year, I guess a year and a half now, recovered from his ACL. I'd like to think that he could do a few things. And Sacramento is a town where, you know, I get the sense that the media and a lot of the fans might just be happy to have a guy like Rondo, and because they're just so desperate to do well. It's not going to be like Boston, where everything he does is you know, put under a microscope. You know, so you know, maybe this is like the utopic view of what happens for Rondo, but it seems like Sacramento is going to be the place. I don't know where else it would be.
Now, look, I always like to give Carlisle a pass because he's a former Maine Black Bear
and Celtic.
That's right.
It's a good combination. I didn't know. So he played at Maine.
He did. He played at Maine and then transferred to Virginia after a couple of years.
Ah. Okay, how many years did he do in Maine?
I think 2 years in Maine, if I remember right, yeah.
And what happened? Was he just like, did he like just realize, hey, I can probably play on the bigger stage, or did he have a problem with the coach?
No, no problem with the coach. I think, if I remember, that's a lot of years ago now, if I remember right, though, his dad was pretty actively involved and I think pushed him to take a bigger opportunity and felt like if he got more exposure, he had a chance to play at the NBA level.
Okay, well, I guess it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, not bad at all. Hey, now, do you think there's any chance that Danny placed a call to Don Sweeney in the last several days and said, hey, brother, thanks for taking the heat off me?
Yeah, although, I mean, like I said, I sort of just, like, watch all the Bruins craziness from afar. I don't get too involved. But that turned pretty quickly. It seems like everyone is kind of, like, on Don Sweeney's side now. Is that true?
Yeah, I think
I only follow a couple of Bruins people on Twitter, but I feel like it went from people wanting to tar and feather him to kind of feeling, okay, like maybe he knows what he's doing. I don't know.
I think he's rallied in the last 48 hours, and now people are, you know, now the experts are saying, oh, well, maybe he did have a plan after all. It's just a really intricate one.
That is exhibit A of why to do, and this could be like the Red Sox biggest problem. I mean, to do things based on how people on the outside are going to react. Like, there could not be a more stupid strategy when it comes to building a team. Because it is just like, and that is why Belichick, in many ways, has been so successful, because he cares so little about what anyone else thinks.
Absolutely.
The same people that are killing you are going to love you, and they're going to kill you, and they're going to want to fire you, and they want to give you a promotion. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. As long as you do what you think is the right move, at least, you know, you can look in the mirror at the end of the day. And if there's one thing that Danny Ainge has proven time and time again, he's been hated his entire playing career, his entire coaching career. You know, people around the league have hated him as an executive because he's just Danny, you know, for better or worse. And I think in this case, like, Danny is in a team that he has built around him. But I'm ready to trust that they, you know what they're doing, even if it's not happening as quickly as we'd like.
I'm with you. I'm with you all the way. Rich Levine, Comcast Sportsnet New England. Rich, thanks for making time for us this afternoon. Enjoy your holiday.
For sure. All right. Happy 4th. I'll talk to you guys later.